Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. We've been reading through the Bible. We've been reading some of my pieces of literature that God has given me for years now. And the reason we do that is because many people can't read. A lot of people have poor eyesight. And a lot of people are on the road. They work 8 hours. They sleep 8 hours. And then they drive commuting to their work. Several hours a day. I know in Los Angeles we do. If you want to go anyplace, if you have appointments, it takes almost all day to get from out in Saugus, where we are, to downtown, fighting the traffic, and then after the appointment you have to drive all the way back. Everybody's got complaints, right? But that's just the way it is, and so you don't have much time to read, so we're doing these tapes so that you can order them, or you can tune us in your car and listen. But you're welcome to have all these tapes. They're free of charge. The reason for it is the Lord gave me salvation free of charge. And that's why we give out Bibles, tapes, CDs. If you'd rather have a CD, we have all these tapes on CD. As a matter of fact, we're producing them on CD and tapes, whatever you like or need. We have some letters and a phone room response and some Bible reading. But right now, let's go to the throne of the Lord and ask Him to anoint this service. Lord, we know that we have a vision. The vision is the most important thing to have, because without a vision, the people perish. We would perish, Lord, if we didn't know who we were, and if we didn't know what Your purpose was and what our purpose in life is. Lord, You had a purpose for us, every single person that's living. And because of the fact that people don't realize their purpose, they are aimlessly living through life. They're born, then they grow up to be, they go to school. You go out of school, go to university. Some people do. Some people drop out. And then they still don't have a purpose in life. They don't know exactly what they want to do or what they were created for or why they're here on earth. Many of them get bummed out and they commit suicide because they don't know the word that tells them that if they commit suicide, they're going to go straight into the pit of hell and into the lake of fire later. So, Lord, we are stressing that people have a vision, that they know what Your vision was when You created human beings from the very beginning. And that Your vision is that we all become one in Christ Jesus, in one corporate body, and that we have a vision of the kingdom of heaven, and that we are supposed to have that vision. If we don't, we perish, because we'll give up. We get so bummed out that because we don't know what our purpose is, why You created us, and then we die, and that's it. And then we've come to reality. When it's too late, we're standing before the judgment bar of God, and then we have God tell us, you know, you should have studied what I wanted you to do. Surely you must have known that there was a God. When you see the universe, you see the sun, the moon, the stars, you see all the different vegetables and fruit and all the glorious landscapes that I've made, and all these things, and that I sent a Savior into the world to give You a purpose. And the living God, You wanted us to live in You and for us to be Your temples here on earth. And therefore, so that You could do Your work of redemption in us and through us and do many other things. And I remember, you know, most people that are in the world that have accomplished anything had to have a vision because before you see the Empire State Building, somebody had to think of it in their brain first before it was ever created. Before you saw this, we could actually see with our eyes, somebody had to have the vision of the Statue of Liberty before we could actually see it with our eyes. That's why I say, you know, a lot of people see with their eyes things that already are, but we who have vision are called visionaries, and we see things in our head that are going to be accomplished soon. We know we're going to accomplish them. I've built many buildings and actually several towns in my life, and I had to visualize these towns before I did. I got these towns going because of the people in the church needed a place to stay. And so we had to find property. We had to, in our minds, figure out how we wanted to map that property out, where we wanted the roads, the curbs, the gutters. It was just like pasture land, many of the things that, many of the places that we purchased. And then it became a whole town up on top of a ridge, and then down below. And we visualized a church and the size of it. And we visualized building of homes for people so that they could live in these homes and have a decent place for their wife and children. And the Lord wanted us to do that for people that really are interested in serving the Lord, that have the vision of the Lord, that they want to allow God to live and work in us, Father, as you do myself and others, so that the job of redemption can be done, and also that the Antichrist, through your word, would be destroyed on earth. The Antichrist regime, the Vatican, the one world government, and the United Council of Churches under the Vatican's control, the world church, and the media under the control of Satan's Vatican. You stated in the book of Daniel, Lord, that you were going to, that there was going to be a rock. Daniel prophesied it. That's going to be cut without hands, and this rock, which is you, Jesus, the solid rock Christ Jesus, would smite the toes of this beast, which is the fourth kingdom, which is Rome, and would topple it and grind it into chaff. Well, that's being done. Being it is that we are the body of Christ, we are members of Christ's body, it is, we are the continuation of Christ's incarnation here on earth. And Father, you've got us destroying the works of Satan by your word. Your word says, is not my word as a fire and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? Well, the Bible states that this beast's toes are made out of clay, which is like rock, and iron. Well, iron is in the rock. But you have your servants here. We are members of the rock. We are members of the rock, Christ Jesus. We are members of his body. The Bible is filled with that. And Lord is not going to come down here with a regular carpenter's hammer and smash the different satanic things or grind the Antichrist regime into chaff, but he's using our bodies, which are members of his body by virtue of his spirit living in us. And Lord, we just thank you for this big job. We're not doing it with carnal weapons, but we're doing it with the Word of God. The Word of God tears the false things that they're saying and doing today to pieces. It breaks the false things that they are doing and saying in this world to pieces. Daniel, the second chapter, verse 34, talks about this rock. And then also in this first scripture that I read is in Jeremiah 23, verse 29. And there also is the other scripture that talks of the Lord saying to go into all the nations of the world and preach the gospel and to destroy, to break in pieces the different satanic things in this world with the word of God. He said, those that believe shall be saved. That's what you said, Father. And those that doubt shall be damned. Well, anyway, Lord, we ask that with your word that you break in pieces the stony hearts of the people that are listening today, this morning, this afternoon, this evening, whenever it is that they're listening, and that you open up their hearts, open up their ears so they have ears that hear, that acknowledge, that receive the things that you say in your word, that they don't ignore it, that it becomes a reality in their ears. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit, the Word of God, the Lord God says to the churches. The Lord wants, you want us all to be responsive, not unresponsive. You don't want us to be impulsive and receive it for a little while and then fall away. And you don't want us to be preoccupied with anything else in this world, but with your word. This is what your word says, Father, that this is supposed to be our vision, that we are the good soil. There are four kinds of people. One that is unresponsive, they're the ones where the seed hits on the wayside. The impulsive ones, that the seed, the word of God, is sown on stony ground. And then there's the third class of people that are preoccupied. Those are those that are sown among thorns. And these people are so concerned about the things of the world as though they matter. I've seen so many people die on their deathbeds. I've preached many funerals in the almost 42 years that I've been in the ministry. And the things that they had just completely dissolve after they're gone. There isn't anything they can take with them, Father. And it's just so meaningless, the things that people are knocking themselves out to have, to get, to receive. And it's like so many toys, because many of them can't even eat the things that they want. Many of them can't fit into clothes properly because of one thing or another. And many of them they can't work, they can't do anything. And here they live their lives without any vision whatsoever, and they went into eternity, into hell, and now waiting for the hell and death to be tossed into the lake of fire, where the worm dieth not, where there'll be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth eternally. Lord, we ask that you open every heart, soul, mind, and spirit to receive the words of life, eternal life, that they will receive Christ, who is the life of the world. He's the light of the world, the life of the world. We pray, Lord, that you'll touch people's hearts, and that they'll be unsaved, and that the church will be edified, strengthened, lifted on higher ground in Jesus' name, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, so where's the first letter from?
It's a witnessing line response from Nashville, Tennessee.
All right, let's hear it.
A man from Nashville called the witnessing line, wanting to let us know how thankful he was for the lady who was out on the streets several months back, and not only gave him the earthquake newsletter, which changed his life, but also took down his name and address and put him on our mailing list. He is now distributing your literature and praying about leaving everything and moving into the ministry.
Well, there really isn't anything out in the world to leave. It's just a bunch of nothing. Amen?
Amen.
The vision that the Lord has given everyone, should be given everyone, has given everyone, but they don't read it, is that they should allow him to live and work in them. Then what?
The next letter's from Ghana, Africa. Dear Pastor Tony Alamo, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God be multiplied in all your endeavors. I am so grateful for your love and concern that you have shown to us in Ghana. Your gospel literature is saving souls and giving encouragement to the saved ones. People are giving testimonies all the time of the wonderful works of God in their lives through the words in your literature. My prayer is that God continues to shower his countless blessings upon you and the entire congregation of God. We are praying for you. I would like to receive the t-shirt and the sweatshirt. My size is large, and I prefer white because of the hot conditions here. Also, if some of your gospel tapes are available, I would like to have some. Pray for me and my outreach program as things are beginning to be difficult for me. God bless you. Yours in Christ, Frank from Ghana, Africa.
Frank from Ghana, Africa. Incidentally, the scripture of go into the world preaching the gospel, that's the vision, because there is no other purpose since Adam and Eve fell, all of creation fell, and God wants to restore them all. We live a short time. All it is just a small period of time for us to be able to get reconciled back to God. And so the Lord, when we do get reconciled, we're to study the Word. We're to, that is, I liken it as unto getting into the classroom, the schoolhouse. Then when we learn it, then we go into the gospel field or the laboratory and let people see the things that we learned that we already have by faith in the things that we learned in the classroom or the school. And then that is all the different miracles that are available for us. God will let people see these things because these signs follow those that believe. And so these things are available for you too. But, you know, if you don't have any purpose in life, if there's no vision, the thing for you to do is get into the Lord, because it's the most exciting thing to do, to have the Lord be leading and guiding and directing you. You that are carnal, that are not saved yet, that are living in darkness, it's hard for you to imagine such a thing, because the Bible says that these things cannot be known by those that are carnal. You must become spiritual. You must become born again of the Holy Spirit and baptized in water and led by the Spirit, and then you're able to know these things. And this really builds your faith up when you call upon God and then He answers you and shows you the things that you're supposed to do. And Jesus said when He went away that He would send the Comforter to us, the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit would teach us all things. He'd tell you what part of the Bible to go. He tells us all what part of the Bible to go into, what part to read, and then He tells you when to lay it down and go out and say something to somebody. The Bible even tells that when a Christian goes to the courtroom, because they're going to drag us into courtrooms all the days of our lives, and He said, don't even think of what you're going to say, because the Holy Father will give you the answer, will talk through you in the courtroom. And I've had that happen many times to me from the Lord. It's the Lord does the talking, and it just confounds and dumbfounds everybody in the court, because you don't even know what they're planning against you. But when you have the Lord, it doesn't matter whether you know it or not. It just comes out of your mouth. And that is the Lord, and that encourages and builds your faith, encourages you to hold that vision. Visualize yourself with God living in you. Visualize yourself with at the end of your life, which could be today, tomorrow, anytime, that you're going to be right in the kingdom of heaven, where there's no pain, no suffering, and there's no growing old. As a matter of fact, you actually look like you did, similar to the way you did when you were 17, only everything on you is perfect. If your nose is too big, it'll be just the right size, your ears or whatever, and you're going to be a perfect-looking human being. Only you're not going to be a human being. You're going to be an ecclesiastical being, and you're going to live forever. You're going to know. You're going to feel things. And it's going to be the most fantastic thing, because you know you're never going to die. And if your loved ones are there, and they will be if you get saved, you'll be able to live around them forever, and your children. You owe it to yourself and to your children to be saved, and all your loved ones, because if you do, they'll get saved too. And a lot of, I see in the news all the time where there's like carloads of people that all get killed together, and if they're not saved, they're all gone. They went to hell. That's the Bible, okay? And you can have a make-believe vision. But the vision I'm talking about is the real vision, the vision of the Lord, all right? I read one time about this man named Walt Disney, He was somewhere I read this where he was always staring out into space. And a person came up to him that was mowing the lawns. He only had one ride on the Buena Vista lot. And the young boy said, "How you doing, Mr. Disney?" And he says, "Well, I'm doing fine." And he says, "What are you looking at?" He says, "I'm looking at my mountain." He says, "What do you mean?" He says, "I'm just looking at my mountain, boy." And so eventually what he was looking at was something that he was planning to put up there on the Disney World lot. And it was, I forget what they call the mountain because I'm not a Disney fan, but he died before he ever saw the mountain built. And so they had a big commemoration. The mayor of the city was there and also the governor of the state and Disney's wife was there. And they got up and started saying, it's just too bad that Mr. Disney was not here to see this mountain of his built. And it was some kind of scientific mountain or something like that. And this young man was saying that. And then Mrs. Disney came out and she said, "I have to correct this young man." She said, "Walt Disney, my husband, saw this mountain well before you people ever saw it. He had it in his mind, the vision of this mountain here. And," she says, "you people are just seeing it now. He saw it years ago." Amen?
Mm-hmm.
So everybody that's built things or does things, if you see a whole town blossom before you, that was in the visionary's mind. Amen?
Amen.
And if you hear this radio broadcast, this was in my mind because the Lord put it in my mind. And the only way that it was able to take place was that when I went and bought a bunch of recording equipment, bought some microphones, there's three of them right in front of me now, and we bought a bunch of tapes, and then we had to record them, and then we had to duplicate them, and then we had to buy some time on radio. A lot of people started calling in wanting to hear me on the air again. And then we bicycled the tapes to them, and we're on the air. And you're hearing us, and we're on the Internet. I had to have a vision of putting that on the Internet. And they had the vision of building a home and building a church and building a gymnasium and building other things and motels and apartment houses. All kinds of things are dancing through my head. Not like visions of sugar plums or anything like that, but it's like I got a vision to do things for the Lord, to get things accomplished for Him. I have visions of sending millions of Bibles throughout the world. And, you know, we've sent maybe a million of them out there, but I want millions to go out. And we're just recovering from tremendous battles with the government because the government does not want the gospel out. The one world Roman Catholic government does not want you to know the Bible. They are against the Bible. They're against Christians. They're against God. They're against Jesus. That's why you see them boycotting the name of Jesus. They want you to have not a Christmas tree, but a joy tree, a holiday tree, or something like that. They have a vision to destroy Christianity. They have a vision to destroy the Word of God. That's in their vision, because they're in darkness, and their vision is destruction. Our vision is to build Christ in you, with the Father, by the Spirit. And it pleases the Lord that the people of the world would be saved by what they consider to be the foolishness of preaching the gospel. Okay? This is your gospel. If you want to be saved, this has to be your gospel, because there's no other gospel. There's no other way that you can be saved. You must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He said you must be born again. It's not something that you could or should do. But you must be born again of the Spirit, or else there's no way that you can enter the kingdom of God. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so just even before this broadcast, Satan hit me with the worst back problem I had. I had to pray like crazy to be able to even get on the air today. But I'm on, Satan, in the blood of Jesus against you, and I rebuke you, Satan. The vision that I have is to continue on. This vision is a continuous one. If you lose the vision of plowing towards the end, just keep plowing and plowing until the breath goes out of your body, you'll never fall, all right?
Amen.
Don't lose that vision, because that vision is your very life. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, go ahead. What's the next part here?
The next letter is from Liberia, Africa.
Okay.
Dear Pastor Alamo, I am with much pleasure to write you this letter, which I hope will meet you in good condition. Greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus.
Well, I was in pretty bad condition a few minutes ago, but my back is better now because I received my healing in the name of Jesus, all right?
Amen.
Then what? I never really asked people to pray for me that much, but now I am. You know, I'm getting hit very hard by the devil from every kind of way. So pray for me, because I'm praying for you. Okay, one good favor deserves another. Amen?
Amen.
All right. You're supposed to pray for me, and I'm supposed to pray for you. So that's the vision the Lord has given us. All right, then what?
Greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I rejoice greatly that the Lord is using you to win millions of souls for Christ. I give God all the glory.
Amen. I do too, brother.
I pray God will preserve you greatly and give you many more years. I was on a bus one morning in Accra, Ghana, when all of a sudden a man stood up in the bus preaching the good news of God. Undoubtedly, the words of God filled my heart with great joy. Afterwards, he divided free literature entitled Alamo Christian Ministries World Newsletter by Pastor Tony Alamo. This literature is so powerful that I believed and dedicated all my entire life to Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I read the code and was deeply touched indeed, even though I am a Christian, but I didn't ever come across such powerful, knowledgeable, and understandable literature in all my life before, which contains all precious words and teachings like this one. Pastor Tony Alamo, thank you for your wonderful preaching worldwide. May the Almighty God bless you and your entire family as you continue to find the lost sheep. Please, sir, from now on I have decided to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. In so doing, my request is that you kindly help me to join you and all the Christian brethren there to work in his vineyard. I take this opportunity to tell you that I want to be in your ministry, so that I will remain in the temple and serve the living God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. Please help me. Sir, greetings to you all in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I am also asking your favor to send me one of your holy Bibles with bigger print. I am awaiting your kind reply. I remain yours sincerely, Isaac from Liberia, Africa.
Praise the Lord. Well, our Bibles are a pretty large print. they run us about, I forget how much to print, but it costs about twice as much to ship them out. But we do. I think we pay $3 or $4 a piece for them. And they weigh about a pound or a pound and a half because of the fact that they're so big. And and it costs a lot more than that to ship it out. Some of them cost around $10 to ship, $15 a piece. That's unbelievable, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So every time we start doing something like that, the devil just hikes up the price of postage and the price of gas. I know that we've got about 300 years supply of gas here in the United States, and why gas prices are soaring is simply a manipulation of the Roman cult. All right, so now we're going to be concluding, I pray. This is part three of God Taught Me the Secret of Spiritual Defense, which is spiritual power. Go ahead.
Many Christians have armored and armed themselves with God's word, but grown tired of the fight. Their minds again become Satan's airport.
Right. So they're tired of the fight. That means they lost the vision. Many people, they just sink into despair. Some kind of persecution comes. Maybe one of their loved ones die, and they wind up winos on the streets of different towns, and they just lose all hope instead of just saying, that was the devil that got my loved one. No, I'm going to hit back at Satan. That's what it means. When Paul said, I fought a good fight, I finished the course. therefore there's a crown laid up for me. We have to, if something happens to us, it doesn't make any difference what it is. We have to keep going. We have to keep that vision in front of us. If we stop, we're not going to make it into heaven. We fall short of the kingdom of heaven. We can fall short from glorifying the Lord. If Satan does something to you, why should you stop glorifying the Lord? Just because Satan is sitting on a fence post just clapping his hands and laughing at you when he does that, because he knows you're going to wind up in hell. Don't lose the vision no matter what happens to you. And you'll find that God will make a new life for you. And we've gone through what people said. Many people told us that we've never seen any two people, you and Susie, go through such hell here on this earth. But this is going on 42 years, and yes, we have gone through it, and we're still going through it. You know, Satan hits in the spiritual realm, hits all different kinds of ways, but don't these people just lose heart for one reason or another, and they think that God is going to understand and say, well done. He will not. If you stop and start becoming a wino or a drug addict because of something that happened to you, no, get up and fight. Amen?
Amen.
Get up, get the Spirit of God in you, get the vision, and say, if my family went to hell, I'm not going. Okay, I don't want to be in hell for anybody. You know, there's a woman in our church. She came to our church and told us of this vision she had. She was saved, and she decided, I'm sick and tired of living this straight-laced life. She says, I'm going to go out and get drunk. And so she went to a beer joint. She was a real floozy type, and she actually was a prostitute at one time. So she got all dressed up in her red dress and a pair of high-heel red shoes and put on some perfume and a scarf around her neck and one hat, and she went down this beer joint and sat on the stool, and she got real drunk, and she went over to put a quarter in the jukebox, and she passed out and fell behind the jukebox, and she had this vision of hell. And before this happened, she said, if mama don't go to heaven, I don't want to be there either. Well, she said, she saw all these souls down there in hell screaming out. They were throwing themselves against a pit. Millions of souls, and they were just crying out one word, and that word was mercy. Mercy. It sounded, she said, just like a bunch of dogs growling it out, because their throat was so sore from saying it, and they knew that they were going to keep saying it and saying it and saying it and saying it and saying it forever in hell. And they were just bashing themselves against the pit, and they knew that there wasn't going to be any mercy. I mean, hell is like hell. I mean, any kind of troubles we go through here on this earth is like a Sunday school picnic to hell. Amen.
Amen.
I mean, even when they put me in prison for the gospel's sake, why, at least I could go and get a glass of water, and I could sit down or lie down at night and go to sleep. And, you know, they give you three hots and a cot. And I got my three hots, unless they were serving pork or something, I'd just give it to somebody else. But I had a few bucks, and I could go to the commissary and get myself some tuna fish. And they even selling this ice cream in there. You know, back then I was eating ice cream. I don't eat any dairy now. And so yeah, I could sit down too and rest, but there the Bible says there's no rest. You never can rest, no matter how weary you get. And the horrible thing is, you keep the knowledge keeps coming at you. This is going on forever. This is never going to stop. This is going on for how long? A year? No. 5 years? No. 10? No. A million years? Yes. More than that. hundreds of millions and billions and trillions of years that never stop. Why would God allow anybody to do that? Because he has extended mercy to you. And his son was crucified like an animal, worse than an animal. Nobody has even killed animals as bad as that before. They beat him so bad and pulled his beard out to where you couldn't even tell if he was a human being anymore. And because of the fact that you reject the mercy and you reject the call of God on you, the vision to go out and win other people from going to hell, there's no mercy in you. So when you start calling out for mercy in hell, there is no mercy. Those that sow no mercy shall reap no mercy. All right? The most merciful thing you could do in your life is to get saved and then learn the Bible and go out and win other souls and tell them about hell and heaven and hell. And tell them that the only escape is to go to God through Jesus. There's no other mediator to the throne of God but the man Christ Jesus. And there's no other name that's named among men whereby you must be saved but the name of Jesus. So, I mean, you've got to do that or you're going to hell. Now, I get the same credit for preaching this whether you believe or not. Even if you don't believe, I get credit for preaching this to you. And if you don't, but if I said, well, a lot of people are not getting saved. They're going to these false churches, these false prophets that just say enjoy everyday life, you know, just enjoy yourself, kick back, you don't even worry about souls. They never tell you to get out and win. They don't train you to win souls. They don't train you to have the vision. They want you to get a new car and a house and settle back, send your kids to university. That's the last place I want to send my kid, is to college. That's where they get into sex things and drugs and booze and everything in there. Why would anybody want to build a career in these last days? The only career that people should have is get into the Lord and let him do with you whatever he will. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, let's continue on here.
Some have foolishly obeyed Satan and have committed sin, a sin so abominable to the Lord that they've fallen away and become antichrists. Satan must be disobeyed. God must be obeyed. Quote, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall, unquote. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. We must never forget that the work and the responsibility of every Christian, every member of the glorious church of God, the future bride of Christ, is spiritual warfare. Again, Jesus overthrew the devil by using God's word. Our victory is in Christ, who is God's word.
God's word is like a rock, fire. It's like a rock, amen?
Amen.
It smashes the rock in pieces. Let's read that again. Jeremiah 23:29. Is not my word, God says, as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock, your rocky heart, and this stony bunch of people in this world, it smashes them. Jesus is not going to come back and start doing it. He did his thing. He lived his life. He died and shed his blood. And he's not coming back to do this work. That's why the Bible tells us that we have a work to do and that we're going to be judged by our works. The Apostle James says, I'll show you my faith by my works, the works that I let God do in and through me. All right? So we are the ones that the Lord has called to break this Antichrist, as it mentions in the second chapter of Daniel, verse 34. People say, well, that's the Lord coming back, and he's just going to come down like a rock and smash people that are not saved and that refuse to receive his word. But no, he says that I go away and I leave this work for you to do. He likens it as unto the servants that he gave so many talents to, each one of them. And then he goes away to a far country. And one of these days he comes back. That's on his second advent. He's going to ask him, he says, what did you do with the talent that I gave you, with the power of God that I put in, that I lived in you and worked in you. And this man says, well, I had 10 talents, and I've doubled it. Amen? Or I had 5 and doubled it to 10. He said, well, good. Then he said to the other one the same thing, and the man doubled his. But there was one that didn't do a thing. He just wouldn't. He was totally unresponsive to the Lord. And the Lord told him that you should have put it to use, or you should have tithed it to some Christian work that was doing something for me, instead of you just sitting here and taking that money and putting it in the ground is what you've done. He says, you have to depart from me, you wicked thing. Go out into outer darkness. Go into hell. Because you didn't care about human souls. There wasn't one ounce of mercy in you whatsoever. Then you've got the 10 virgins that the Bible tells about. 5 were faithful and 5 of them were just sitting around doing nothing. And they just thought they were going to be able to go to heaven. Well, the Lord was coming and they wanted to borrow some oil for their lamps, but their lamps had run out of oil. They didn't stay in the Spirit every day like the 5 smart virgins, the wise ones. They said, no, we can't. We're not going to start preaching the gospel to you now. The Lord's coming. It's time for us to go into heaven. And you're going to hell. Because they were once saved, but they're not always saved. Okay, so that again shoots that false doctrine of once saved, always saved. Amen?
Amen.
Because they were all virgins. They were all saved. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so the Lord has us doing the work of smashing the false doctrine in the world. That's what it means, and to preach His Word. We're to fill the world with His Word. That's the vision that you must receive and do, or else you can't get in. These are commands from God Almighty, your Creator, my Creator, the Creator of everything. We have to listen to what He says, or else. Okay? Or else you will be one of those people casting yourself against the pits of hell, crying, mercy, 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 and there's no mercy, not one bit. God says that when He slings people like that into hell, they'll start crying mercy, and He'll say mercy back to them. He'll mock them, and then He'll start laughing at them. There isn't anything that I could possibly think of that would be worse than God sending my soul, because I didn't do what He said, to hell, and then have Him laughing at me and mocking, saying, oh God, no, and He'll say, oh God, no, just like mocking you back. Oh, please God, He'll say back. You filthy thing, you. You unmerciful wretch. Depart. Ha, 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 and laugh at you. You miserable wretch, while you're groveling on the coals of hell. Okay, then what?
Our victory is in Christ, who is God's Word.
Right, we won't have this problem if we're in Christ, because in Christ, Christ will be showing us what to do, and we'll have the same vision in bringing people to God through the Word, Christ Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
All right, then what?
Our victory is in Christ, who is God's Word, and by this I mean, our victory is in defending ourselves with the spiritual weapon, God's Word, the double-edged sword. We must prepare for war, and we must war lawfully according to God's Word.
Right, if you're a wino and you're listening to this and you're sitting on the curb, you got to get involved with the battle, governor, whoever you think you are. I know you just figure you're going to solve the world's problems. Jesus already solved them. Jesus said He destroyed the works of the devil, and He knew what was going to happen before it happens. He knows the end at the same time as the beginning. And He knows who's going to hell, and He knows who's going to heaven, and it's all up to us. You have to discipline yourself to be disciplined by the Word of God, which is spirit and life. Then go ahead.
These stupid, sickening, demonic thoughts cannot overpower us when we are fully armored and armed with God's armor. They are as ineffective as a person throwing a piece of paper at a Sherman tank.
See, it says God's armor. When we're armored and armed, that means with the Word of God. That's just simple. Amen. Then what else?
Tiny pieces of paper cannot penetrate a Sherman tank any more than the devil can a Christian in full armor. Jesus the Word has already gotten the victory for us, and all we need do is stand in defense of it. This is why the Apostle Paul tells us we must, quote, put on the whole armor of God, which is the whole weapon of God, the Word, the sword of God, that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, which means we are not wrestling against men, women, and children, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, the whole word of God, the Spirit of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, unquote. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 11 through 14.
And, stand. It's a commandment to stand. Get off the curb. Quit whining over whatever happened to you. And stop thinking about the past, because the past has no vision to it. You're looking backwards. You've got to forget about the past and look forward. Amen?
Amen.
You've got to look straight ahead to heaven and what the Lord has for us in the Word. I had a family that just loved to get drunk, some of the aunts and uncles, and then pull out the old scrapbooks and just sit there, and they didn't have a dime. And so I just hate that kind of life. I couldn't live. That's not life at all. That's death. Forget about the past. Oh, there's little Gordy. Look at him. Here the guy's already full grown, and he's a drunk. Okay, and here he was out there feeding chickens. I said, my God, how many times do I have to hear this story? You know, when I was a kid. Little Gordon feeding the chickens. Okay? Forget about that. Get up and go. All right? What else?
If you wield or use the Word of God whenever anything satanic is presented to you, you will see the devil will flee. He will vanish. However, be sure that it is the Holy Spirit giving you the unction, the anointing, and that the words you are saying at the moment are coming from the mouth of God through you. If you notice, the Apostle Paul never told us to attack. He told us to stand in defense of the gospel as we are preaching, teaching, or reproving with it. Again, there is no need to attack the devil. Christ overthrew the devil and destroyed his works around 2,000 years ago. All we need to do is maintain the same works, the same power and dominion over Satan, the same victory which Christ won for us.
Yeah, some Christians think it's really evil to say bad things, to tell the truth about the devil, because it says, speak evil of no man. But speaking evil of a man is to tell lies about him or malign him, say false things about him. But that isn't false when you're telling the truth about Satan, amen?
Amen.
Or people that are satanic. You have to tell that. That is not speaking evil to tell the truth. It is speaking evil if you lie or slander somebody. So don't slander anybody, because that's speaking evil of them, and don't tell lies about anybody. All right? Because you'll discourage them and cause their souls to go to hell. Okay, but you can talk as bad as you want about Satan. Amen?
Amen.
I mean, you can tell the truth of what the Lord says about him, and people... Paul talked about Alexander the coppersmith and a bunch of other people that were evil. Amen?
Amen.
The Bible talks about a lot of evil people. Go ahead then.
All we need to do is maintain the same works, the same power and dominion over Satan, the same victory which Christ won for us by standing fully armored with the Word to defend what Christ already did.
Well, he already did it, and he's all living in us, and he'll continue doing it in and through us. We can't say, oh, Christ did all the work and now we can just sit down. No, we have to let the Lord operate in us by the Spirit as he did as the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit was in his human body. We all have to work. We're going to be judged by our works that we allowed God to do in and through us. Okay, go ahead.
If Jesus had not succeeded, it would be impossible for anyone to be saved. Our commission from God is to fight, but only defensively when we are being attacked.
And it would be impossible for us to have enough confidence that Christ can give us the victory in and through us when the devil is attacking us and we're standing in defense of the gospel. But because we know that he never lost one battle, And the only reason he allowed them to take him and kill him was so that we could be saved, all right?
Amen.
That was no law. So they were trying to get him down from the cross. They, okay, if you're the Son of God, come down. He could have, but if he did, then we wouldn't have had a chance to be saved. Okay, so that was that was nothing but victory there, okay? What else?
The devil attacks, and the Christian stands in defense of...
not only that, he rose from the dead, see? So he didn't stay dead. He's alive forevermore right now. Okay, he's very much alive. So
yeah,
that should give you great confidence in him. All right, then what else?
The devil attacks, and the Christian stands in defense of the gospel. When the Christian stands in defense of the gospel, the devil flees. We are also to use no weapon other than the word, the Spirit of God, just as Jesus did when he used the word of God as his weapon against the devil on Temptation Mountain. In Scripture, Jesus taught us where the power was, and no one in the world has this power except those of us who are filled with the Spirit of God. Jesus tells us the power he wants us to fight with, which is the power he fought with in these words, quote, "But if I drive out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you," unquote. This means, quote, the reign of God has reached you already, has overtaken you already, has swept over you unawares, unquote. Matthew chapter 12, verse 28, original Greek. You must receive this power before your death, for without this power it will be impossible for you to defeat Satan and impossible for you to enter heaven. And youngsters, give your youth unto the Lord rather than to foolishness, so that you may be blessed and highly favored in the eyes of God. Quote, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them, unquote. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1. Also you will receive the power of God, the mighty Holy Spirit, which gives you the power to stand in defense of the gospel by the use of God's word, the sword. How powerful is God's word? I'll tell you how powerful his word is. All he had to do was say, quote, let there be, unquote, and whatever he wanted to be was. He said, quote, let there be the whole creation, unquote.
Yeah, he sees the Lord had a vision, amen?
Amen.
That's why you see this whole world, the sun, the moon, the stars, and the planets. All right, then what?
He said, quote, let there be the whole creation, unquote, and each day, according to his word, is a 12-hour day and a 12-hour night. This means all creation was spoken into existence by God in 6 24-hour days, not 6,000 years, as the false prophets tell you. This passage of Scripture is literal. Now that is how powerful God's word is. If you have faith in God's word, even a small amount of faith, as small, quote, as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you, unquote. Matthew chapter 17, verse 20. God created everything, and everything belongs to God. By default, by lying, Satan conned Eve and Adam out of the rulership of the world and everything in it, and robbed both of them, Eve and Adam, from direct fellowship with the Lord. God knew Adam would transgress, so before the creation of the world, before the fall of Adam through disobedience, God instituted the plan of salvation. It was in this way God, through man, would repossess that which Satan had illegally, illicitly taken from God and man. Eve came out of Adam and became his bride. The church comes out of Jesus to be his bride. Christ overthrew the devil and destroyed his kingdom. The church, the future bride of Christ, assists Jesus through every era of time by Jesus living and working both in and through each member to continue to maintain his victory over the devil.
And to continue bringing about the kingdom of heaven in this world. Amen?
Amen.
And this is the vision of the Lord. He wants you to do the work in you. Answer you. What else?
By Christ living and working both in and through each of the many faithful members of his church, his body, his future bride, he in them, through them, and with them is able to continue standing in defense of his overthrow of Satan, so that his bride, with him in them, can maintain continuous victory over sin, Satan, the world, the flesh, death, hell, and the grave. This world shall burn. Our spiritual world is the heavenly kingdom, which is forever. When Jesus is living in the members of his church, his body, quote, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, unquote, Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. Faithful Christians have been maintaining Christ's overthrow of the devil, sin, Satan, the world, the flesh, death, hell, and the grave, ever since the day of Pentecost, when Jesus poured himself with his Father by the Spirit into the 120 believers in the upper room. Jesus promised that he would send the Comforter, God's power, into every Christian who would keep his commandments, giving them power and dominion over all the aforementioned things. Every believer throughout every age is able to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. The Almighty God would never leave his dear children without his power, his life, living in them. Why would Christ leave us without power, especially in these last days, the most wicked days of all time? His very intention is to live in man, whom he created in his own image and likeness, to do his bidding throughout every age. He has no intention of letting the members of his body be overthrown. Again, he would never leave his children in the worst era of time without his power in them. Why would he say in the book of Revelation, quote, "He that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father," unquote. Revelation chapter 2, verses 26
right.
and 27.
They will be broken into shivers, and his word is like a hammer, and we, with him in us, with the Christ, with the Father by the Spirit, is going to break the false religions. We're going to put them under. The Word of God is more powerful than their fallacies. Now, you can be part of this great and mighty army of the Lord that is not violent whatsoever. We just stand in defense of the gospel. All you have to do is say this prayer and say it to the Lord. This is just the beginning, though. After this, you got to read and pray and get a hold of the Lord and let him just keep entering into you every single day. So you can start right now, because we're right at the end of time, by saying this prayer. Now say this to God: "My Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open up the door of my heart, and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy sins away, my former filthy sins away, in the precious blood that you shed for me on the cross at Calvary. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know, because your word says so. Your word says you'll turn no one away, and that even includes me. That includes me. Therefore, I know you have heard me, and I know you have answered me, and I know that I'm saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul." Now lift up your hands and praise the Lord. Say, "Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. God, praise God. Thank you, Lord. Because now I have the vision." I'm going to keep reading your word, and your word will show me more and more every day. I'm going to seek for the baptism of the Holy Spirit to have the power to be in the ministry as well. So I really thank and praise the Lord for every one of you that have received salvation. You can have this tape, or if you would like a CD instead, write or call us. Our email is
alamoministries.com,
and our fax number is
479-782-7406,
and our phone number is
479-782-7370.
All right, so call us or write us or email us, and look at our website, and you'll get a lot of power from reading the literature there. So don't fail to tune in for the conclusion of "God Taught Me the Secret of Spiritual Defense," that is, power. Until then, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo saying, God bless you and praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen.